Okay, so what is the age range then for this horticulture therapy?
For myself, I've worked with 6-month-old and up to 90-year-old people. I say that because I have worked in hospitals and nursing homes, as well as I worked in childcare centers. And some of the children that they brought out to work in the garden with me would be sitting on the childcare worker's lap, but they would be just as much part of it carefully as any of the older people. So yeah, I've had a wonderful range of students.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome to Helping Gardeners Grow, Season 2. I am your host, Donna Balzer, and I am also a television host, a radio commentator, horticulturist, and author. Today I set out to learn more about gardening therapy with Rose Naomi O'Bray of Nova Scotia. Gardener, Heal Yourself could have been the title of this episode with Rose Naomi, encouraging us all to be a little more active in our gardens and in working with others to use gardening as a healing modality. What a treat speaking about gardening as therapy today with Rose. So enjoy it, but first, help me choose the best content for you by commenting, rating, and sharing this podcast with your gardening friends. And once you're on my webpage, snoop around and shop for cool books and gadgets to help you grow. Anything you purchase in my online shop helps me help you. And now, Rose Naomi O'Bray, singer, garden therapist, and all-around good person. From injury to healer, here is the story of horticulture therapy from Rose's perspective. Well, hi. Today we're so lucky. I've got Rose Naomi O'Bray on the other line, and we are going to talk about horticulture therapy. How are you, Rose?
I'm just fine, Donna. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so Rose Naomi, what are you doing? What's your life?
It's in the garden and it's music. So altogether, it's a real fulfilling career that I have down here in Nova Scotia.
Right, and what part of Nova Scotia are you in?
Greenwood, right near the military base.
Okay. And are you in the military as well, or?
I am not. My family members, many of them are, but not me.
Okay. So we got connected on Facebook, and you told me that you are a horticulture therapist. Is that true?
Yes. I've worked since 2002, actually, in the therapeutic horticulture arena, will we say, and it's quite the field. And I took a wee leave of absence when I had an injury in 2015, and I'm back at it again. And here in Nova Scotia, I was in Ontario for the first so many years, from 2002 till 2015, but now I'm in Nova Scotia since 2018.
So how did you even hear about this? I mean, gardening, I think we all know gardening is good for us, and that's sort of the theme of today, gardening is good for you. But how did you know that it could be a form of therapy? How did that come across?
Way back in 1999, it seems like an eon ago, I was injured at work, and I was lifting something. Anyhow, I was injured and had been told by my doctor and specialist that I would be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, likely. And someone brought me magazines to help me get through. And I was reading through one of these. Of course, they were plant magazines. And lo and behold, there was a page about horticultural therapy, which I'd never heard of in my life. And well, long story short, got me hooked, and I started coming back to better health and used some of the horticultural therapy practices on myself. And I started practicing then with different people in my area, and my company grew from there.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. I have never heard of anyone sort of treating themselves. Mm-hmm. I find that fascinating. And did you have to go to
a school to learn this, or how did you learn about horticulture therapy?
Yes, there are many places that offer the courses, and most of them actually, Donna, are out in British Columbia right now, near you. And Anne Kent, you may know her. She is one of the horticultural therapy masters, they call. That's the highest level you can go in registration at the Canadian Horticultural Therapy Association. And she's in, is it Qualicum you call your area?
Yeah, it is.
That's where she lives too and practices her. So it's very interesting. And you can do online, or you can do, if you're close, like many have, they've even come out to British Columbia to take some of the programs there. And also there's Mitchell Hewson, who he's in Guelph, Ontario, and he does programs all the time. It seems like forever he's done them. And he's a horticultural therapy master too. There are technicians and there are registered horticultural therapists. But yeah, so it's really, really great how you can learn.
Right. You don't have to go somewhere for a long time to take a regular degree. I think I've been told that you can either be a horticulture therapist or you can be a therapeutic horticulturist. And is there some difference there?
There is. A therapeutic horticultural therapist, getting my words mixed up here, is one who would set goals for their clients and work with their clients to achieve those goals. And that would be someone who would be paid to do that. You can still be paid, but you don't have to be a registered horticulturist to do that type of programming.
Okay, maybe I'm not the only one a little bit confused, so I had to email Rose and we got some further updates on what it means to be a horticultural therapist versus just working in therapeutic horticulture. Rose tells me someone can engage in therapeutic horticulture, such as she does, without being registered by the CHTA. CHTA is the Canadian Horticultural Therapy Association. You can work in horticulture, you can work in any of the mandates, but you don't have to be certified to do that. You can join the group without getting a certification. For example, she still gets paid, but she does not need registration, and she does not call herself a horticultural therapist. She says, I do programming, consultation, and train students within the three scopes of design: social, rehabilitative, and vocational. My programs may cover any of the five benefits or outcomes, but I do not need to be registered with the CHTA. So it's a very subtle difference. Just wanted to clarify for anyone who's thinking of joining and becoming a certified horticultural therapist.
Right, because I think I was told that people could often come to it from sort of a nursing background or a physiotherapy background. You know, they come from another background and then they learn the gardening. And then there's people that know the gardening and it's a little trickier for them to learn the procedures for the
That's exactly right. We have recreational therapists and, well, really, any membership is open with the Canadian Horticultural Therapy Association to anybody that has interest in or who has worked with horticultural therapy or just, as I say, the interest in. And the association provides wonderful support and education and fellowship online. You join online and it's great.
Yeah. So tell me some of the benefits of horticulture.
Okay. So there's physiologically the people, students I call them. I believe in lifelong learning. So I call them my students can add to their muscle strength and endurance levels. They can improve motor skills, add to their range of motion through the physical exercises, even if they have, you know, one side that's not very successful in movement, they can still benefit. And of course, there's profiting from the fresh air and the sunshine. And then they also, there are five good benefits I can think of off the top of my head. So the physical one and then the psychological one promotes improved confidence and higher self-esteem because they're doing something that they are actually profiting from. And there's lowered stress levels and group therapy. There's a return of social skill development as well. And recreational benefits. So people of all ages, and I will tell you a little story about people of all ages, abilities, and stages of development. They can become involved in some level of horticulture and reap the benefits. It definitely helps develop mental processes because the activities involve each of the students at their level while encouraging advancement to higher goals for them. And number concepts can be taught, repotting cuttings, counting those, sowing seeds, counting the seeds, and plant terminology can expand the vocabulary. And the last of the five benefits, vocational benefits. Many of the students that I've worked with have been exploring return to work possibilities and volunteering and school co-op. So they have an opportunity to learn the skills necessary for those successes. Job skills such as arriving on time, working with a supervisor, accepting and giving feedback, and quality control and timeliness are ones that are taught. And I know, Donna, you yourself would be able to vouch for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gardening's amazing, eh? So I've got more than five, though. I've got physical, psychological, less stress, group therapy, recreation, vocational. That's what you're looking for. What are your 5 points?
Okay. There's the physiological.
Okay.
Psychological.
Okay.
Recreational. Cognitive. And vocational.
Okay. So lots of ways people can benefit. And do they sometimes come for all of those five, or are they sometimes just focusing on one or another?
Usually there'd be one main goal that they're looking for to benefit from using the horticultural therapy, but sometimes it has incorporated the whole five.
Okay. Well, tell me your story first, actually. I want to hear about that.
Yes. Well, my company is A Voice in His Garden Ministries, and our slogan here is Praise, People, Plants, Possibilities. And our mission is to provide benefits for the whole person, the mind, body, soul, and spirit, by way of the therapeutic horticulture and gospel music programs and presentations that we do.
All right, but that's not your story. What's your story? Where did you come from? What happened? Go way back. What happened to you that went before you opened up that magazine and read about hort therapy? What put you in that position?
Okay, yes. Well, that got me. Yeah, an injury, a very severe injury got me into.
So where were you injured?
Actually, it was a spinal injury, a severe spinal injury, but I did recover from that. It took me 5 years, but I did recover. I actually had I had never experienced a miraculous healing. I did. I truly did receive one. I was in a church and I had prayed about, I thought I wanted to be healed. I was so tired of being the way I was, so disabled. I asked for prayer and, well, I just walked away after. I wasn't any better. And I just heard God speak in my mind, "You didn't believe, did you?" And I thought, well, yeah, I did. Well, I was arguing with God. So anyhow, he said in my mind again, go back and ask the same person for prayer again. And this time, believe that I can do it. I've done it in the Bible. And I thought, okay, I will. And that time, I really thought that he would do it. And I was. I felt like hot going up and down my spine. And I was healed from that day on.
Hmm. And so you got up and walked?
I did. And worked. Yeah. I had three jobs going at a time after that.
Okay.
I was supposed to be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, my doctors told me. But instead, I used a cane and I ambulated very, very clumsily and slowly. But yeah, so in 2005, all that ended and I was healed up. But wow. I have another story that's so beautiful.
Oh, what's that?
That's the one even, well, it's as beautiful as this, but it's not about me. When I programmed in a hospital, in the Northumberland Hills Hospital in Cobourg, Ontario, I had an hour program each time I went in, and they would bring patients from different wards to come for the horticultural therapy. They call me the hort lady there, and they just love the program. I love being there. But they didn't want to bring this one woman in, a very young woman who had, she was totally paralyzed on a bed. She could hear, she could see, but she could not move. So I asked that she could please be brought in with us. And I just, as it went on, anyhow, for the half hour, I teach for half an hour, and then I do an application. I mean, the people do the application with me. My students do what they do. And I just felt, just to keep going back to her side and including her, I would touch the leaves of the plant on her arm and always look in her eyes. And we were singing. We always sang. And it was so beautiful, Donna. She was just, the tears were just flowing out of her eyes. And you know, she was smiling with her tearful eyes. It was so beautiful. I mean, it's wonderful.
So what happened in her case?
In her case, I don't know. I couldn't. She was still in hospital when I finished the programming there, but she was so happy. And that's why I say any person can be reached by the horticultural or garden therapy, nature therapy, if you want to call that.
Mm-hmm. Now, where do you prefer to work? Do you prefer to work in hospitals then, or do you prefer to work just out in your garden with people, or how do you manage your business?
Well, I've had projects completed like inside healthcare and educational institutions, as well as in commercial and private homes. And if I can be outside, if weather and conditions and the students can work outside, that's where I prefer to work. It's just seems to fit.
Right. The wind in the hair and fits into all those different thing. So do you think, I mean, there's so many kinds of therapy. There's art therapy, music therapy, horticulture therapy. Do you think that any one type of therapy has more of an impact on people, or are they all valuable? Like what would be the special thing about garden or horticulture therapy?
Okay, so that's a good question. I like it. I think they all have their merits. And, you know, depending on the client or student. I'm a teacher trainer of adults, and I'm also a visual artist. I do botanicals and portraits. I'm a singer-songwriter and a developmental service worker. I'm an author. So I can do cross-curriculum, and I do that because it's hard for me not to, because I have all that in me. Mm-hmm. Yes, so I love to, and they participate on many levels. Oftentimes, Donna, there are participants who will have something. Can I say something? And yes, sure. And you know, it'll be 15 minutes later, and they've taught us something. And again, there's that lifelong learning. We're all teaching and learning.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. So how would you physically get people motivated by gardening? What would be an example of a physical project you might do?
Physically.
Would you have them loading compost, or would it be that? Or
okay. So examples of what to do. Is that what you meant? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what would be, because you've got these five areas. So if someone says, well, they need some physical training, how would you approach that?
Okay, definitely, yes, the compost, building compost. It could be just collecting seed heads. It could be watering. Whatever is able for them, is most profitable for them, I should say, depending on how their range of motion is to start with. And then we would amp it up as they are able to whatever level they can attain.
Okay, so they can do some physical stuff and all kinds of gardening things. It just sounds like gardening is perfect for this. What about psychological? What's an example of that?
Well, again, that is more inward. That's happening inward rather than the outward physical stuff. And just the way they may come in with hesitation or anticipating that they cannot do stuff, but in the involvement, stress just is naturally reduced, and they gain friends. And it's just, I've been told, and I know for myself, I sleep better after doing garden therapy and or singing. And everybody, there's no competition. I stress that immensely. There's no competition. You do your personal best always, and nobody's here to one-up another. And so they just feel that it's a very welcoming atmosphere. So very helpful on those levels.
And is it better to do it one-on-one or in a group?
It depends. If somebody is so anxious that one-on-one in the beginning would be better, we'll work that way. I mean, it's every individual is important, and how they learn is important. So if group therapy is not in the beginning or sometimes ever a good option, then we will do just one-on-one. But group therapy is what we're social people or social bodies, so we strive for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to hear some more stories. I want to hear out in the field. You're out in the field, something's happening, and you know in your heart something really clicked.
Well, I wrote a song. Actually, it's called Joy Belongs in Growing, and this one was written back in 2004, and it actually was, as I said, in 2005, I had a healing.
Used to be that I would sit and focus on my pain. What's the point of trying? I'll never be the same. Then I discovered plants and soil and
so from my disability, my severe disability.
Now
so then I wrote this song
no
a year before, but I knew what I was doing with the gardening and for singing, because I've been doing that since 1988. I knew that it was a good thing. So I wrote a 4-chorus song on Joy Belongs in Growing.
Well, tell me now, how did you learn to garden?
My grandpa, my Irish grandpa, he had 100 acres, and he had a maple sugar bush, and my grandma too. They had it in currants and strawberries, and they lived behind us. Actually, we lived on a front acre of their 100, and it was wonderful, like running, 8 of us children running across the field over to grandma and grandpa's. That's where we got taught. That's where I got my love for gardening.
Wow. And is that in Nova Scotia or was that in Ontario?
Ontario. Mount St. Patrick, Ontario.
Okay.
Up above Ottawa.
Oh, really? So that's quite far north.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah. So short summers there.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't that far up, Donna. So we didn't have that short a summer, really. It sounds like it's up far north, but it's not. We had heavy winters, but we had quite long summers, and my mom actually put in the hugest gardens, vegetables, and we had clay soil to start with, but we got it amended, and oh, it was wonderful. So, you know, from both sides of my family, my mom and my dad's side, they both instill the green thumb therapy.
Do you think we're losing that now? Do you think people are forgetting some of the basics?
Actually, 2020, I think, got a lot more people back into it, a lot more people talking about it and, you know, giving their ideas to those who did not have it and helping them to realize that even a small raised bed can, you know, it can grow you some carrots and some potatoes, maybe even some herbs and some flowers too. And I think 2020 and the mess it has been for us, I think we've reaped, pardon the pun, reaped some really wonderful gardening benefits out of it, healthy benefits out of it.
How has it changed your garden?
Mine doubled in size this year. And for sure, I have to give you credit for some of this, because credit is due. I found you, like you say, on Facebook. Can't even remember how it actually started, but then I listened to your different podcasts and your live broadcasts, and I thought, wow, this is good. This is like, it's a growing thing right across our country. So it really was wonderful.
So who are you working with right now? What type of projects would you do in the winter with horticulture therapy?
Sprouting, cuttings, growing cuttings. I have a beautiful begonia that I keep, it just won't stop. So I keep taking cuttings off of it, as well as the prayer plant, the maranta. And they root in 3 days. The maranta just doesn't want to not root. And mostly that, and then some of the, for the benefits, the cognitive benefits and the counting, and that would be different seed sorting and sizing and counting for different young people that I'm working with.
Okay, so what is the age range then for this horticulture therapy?
For myself, I've worked with 6-month-old and up to 90-year-old people. I say that because I have worked in hospitals and nursing homes, as well as I worked in childcare centers. And some of the children that they brought out to work in the garden with me would be sitting on the childcare worker's lap, but they would be just as much part of it carefully as any of the older people. So yeah, I've had a wonderful range of students.
Well, that's fascinating. What kind of a job could a 6-month-old do?
They can feel, they can smell, they can taste, they can do almost anything that us older people can do, just within limits, the caregiver being mindful of them more so than the older, of course.
Of course, my mom was gardening still when she was 90, so I get it at that stage. You can just keep going, keep doing it. There's no specified shutdown period, is there?
There is not. There really is not. As my story about that young lady in the hospital, I mean, she could not do anything, but she really was doing, she was involved.
Something was happening inside, wasn't there?
That's right. And that's why my stress at A Voice in His Garden Ministries is mind, body, soul, and spirit. It's the whole person. It's not just a physical benefit. It's not just cognitive benefit. It's the whole person.
Okay. Who do you think would benefit the most from this? Would it be more horticulture in schools, or would it be, because that's kind of cut back now, I think, or would it be more horticulture? Like, are people only getting this when they're in the hospital, or where is it going to?
Again, I can speak to, because I don't see much of it here yet in Nova Scotia. I did more in Ontario. I worked for many years in Ontario. So I had my private clients who were, they may have been in hospital and came home and they needed something that they wanted to make them happy, to make it worthwhile, as I, sadly to say, but it's the truth. We have to address death, and a lot of my clients were dying, but they wanted to live as long as they could, the best they could. So they wanted horticultural therapy, and through the hospital and the healthcare institutions, I would get referrals, and through lawyers sometimes get referrals for different people that would be interested in it. And it was wonderful.
Give me another example.
Okay, so I guess back to the childcare institution where I worked there for 6 years, I guess, as a horticultural therapist. And I would be helping those children there that needed the most one-on-one, and were really not comfortable being with the other students, and or maybe aggressive. So to handle aggression, I would take this one child out to the garden and have him with my smaller spade, have him dig with me always with, I'm doing something nearby with my eyes on him. And it would drastically reduce his aggression. And sometimes he'd say, can we stop now? I'm really tired. So he'd go in, you know, he was not all stressed anymore and he wasn't causing any disturbance with the rest of the children.
And yourself, what have you noticed in your own body? Have you noticed that you're getting better at gardening, or have you noticed that over time you have to cut back more? Like, is it, how do you feel?
As a, I'm a 63-year-old gardener now, and yes, I have some, I developed in the last year or so a hip problem. And I think, again, as we age, that can happen. It doesn't seem to happen to everybody, but it has happened to me. And I, the spade problem, it's difficult for me now to put my foot up on and push down as much as I want to do it as I did 10 years ago. It now complicates walking for me. Sometimes I have to use my spade to be a second leg to come back from the garden.
Well, that's so interesting. So if people are interested in horticulture therapy as either getting, you know, being a patient or teaching it themselves, if they already know how to garden, how would you advise them? Is it better if they're a nurse first, or is it better if they're a gardener first? Where would you get started with them?
I would say if you have the interest, that's where you start. And then do contact the Canadian Horticultural Therapy Association, because they're, you know, they promote the use and awareness of horticulture as a therapeutic modality. So they support, I'm a member there, and they support, they give you educational opportunities. Right now we're Zooming once a month, and they're explaining the membership ways, the different ways to practice horticultural therapy. It's just wonderful. The benefits of being with the organization is one plus, I would say, and the place to start if you have an interest at all. And if you are a nurse or a recreational therapist, or, well, I would say just a gardener, as though I know just isn't a good word for gardeners, because it's huge. But start anywhere. Start anywhere, get in contact with them, and or get in contact with me. And I would love to talk with anybody about it and how to go further.
All right. And what is the best way to reach you? Are you on socials, or?
I have a Facebook, or I am on Facebook, but I would say go to my website, avoiceinhisgarden.com.
Okay, well, that's great. Is there anything else you'd like to add here today for people to know about horticulture therapy, or maybe another story you'd like to tell?
Well, new for 2021, I'm working on my Zoom classes. I'm hoping to be presenting the programs that I do live or pre-recorded, and that's an exciting possibility for me, and hopefully that will happen in January or February. And also I'm working with a hospital in Halifax with respect to online a Zoom class again, and it's to do with pain self-management group program, and I would work as a facilitator there and help deliver the program for the pain self-management group, which has been in operation for, I don't know, probably 10 years.
Are you saying gardening can help with pain self-management?
That's right.
Really? How would that work?
Again, it immerses you in something that distracts you from the pain. And it may not make your pain go away, but it sure distracts you from your pain. And that's, you know, that's one of the best medications out there, distraction from it. And the endorphins are also released more when you're doing something you love. And so there you go. It's natural medication right from your own brain.
Hmm. Are you saying that there's ever going to be a cure for a problem from horticulture therapy, or is it just a way to ease the pain?
Horticultural therapy is not a cure, just like music therapy is not a cure, but it is complementary treatment. And it's certainly, well, here in Canada, we're over almost 40. We are 40 years as using horticultural therapy. In United States, it's about 100 years. And I guess in Japan, it's 300 and some years they've been using horticultural therapy to benefit people. So it's definitely something that's not going to go away, but is going to be, in my estimation, going to be continually used and used more knowledgeably.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a great place to end on. And I really appreciate your time today. And I wonder if you want to, you could send me an MP3 of your music and we can see if we could squeeze that song onto the end here.
Yes, I could send along a song if you're interested in that too.
All right. We'll see if we can work that in. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Used to be that I would sit and focus on my pain. What's the point of trying? I'll never be.
Rose Naomi works in horticulture and she uses horticulture as therapy for her clients. And it was so great to hear her story of healing.
Now I find
and how garden therapy works from everyone from ages 6 months to 90 years old. The Gardening Gold this week is the ability of gardening to help you physically, emotionally, cognitively, and vocationally. It lowers your stress, it helps develop social skills. So if you've been bored during the pandemic, it seems you just weren't doing enough gardening. All of Naomi's contacts are in the show notes, so check out her webpage, A Voice for His Garden Ministry. It's kind of a long name, A Voice for His Garden Ministry. Again, all on the show notes. Thanks again to Rose Naomi O'Bray for sharing her beautiful music. Brennan Anderson of Smithers, BC, created and performed new music for Helping Gardeners Grow Season 2. And remember, you can help me help you by shopping at donnabalzer.com. That's Donna Balzer, DonnaBalzer.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, remember to rate it on Apple Podcasts, share it with a friend, and subscribe. Everything you do helps everything I do. If you have a question for the show or something you heard here on this or previous episode, send me a voice memo to askdonna@donnabalzer.com. That's askdonna@donnabalzer.com. Until next time, thanks so much for joining me. Helping gardeners grow. Good for the soil and good for the soul.
And legs to walk a garden path, such sights. I don't have those luxuries, but still I have delight. For in my mind, I picture flowers that your eyes cannot see. Bouquets full of scents and touch, created just by me. Strength is gained through growing, even when you're ill. Planting, reaping, sowing, you'll find it fits the bill. God created heaven and earth and all that's in between. So dig your hands into the soil. There's joy in every seed.